I'm really pleased to be here to talk about the project I've been working on for the past year. My name is Ijama Agalefo, and like Bill and Marsha, I work in the emergency communication system at CDC, and today I'll be talking about emergency communication for the deaf, hard of hearing, and the deafblind populations. My objectives for this session are first to explain the different levels of deafness and the cultural constructs. And then I will talk about why it is necessary to tailor emergency messages for the deaf population. And then finally, I will discuss how the CDC emergency communication system has responded to the deaf population's need. So, what does it mean when you say that someone is deaf? For the purposes of this presentation, I will keep it simple, and I will just say that it represents a complete loss of hearing in both ears. Now, when someone is hard of hearing, there is some hearing loss, but not complete deafness, and in some cases, wearing a hearing aid can help the individual hear some sound. When someone is late deafened, it means the person became deaf later in life, probably as a result of illness, trauma, or old age. Being deafblind is a combination of hearing and vision loss, and it occurs in varying degrees. The next two slides represent a brief summary of estimates for the size of the deaf population in the U.S. based on available federal data and published research, and it was obtained from the Gallaudet Research Institute, GRI, in 2005. The big question is, can you really tell how many people are deaf in the U.S.? The answer is not simple because many definitions of deafness are used, and depending on where you look for answers, each leads to a different estimate for the number of deaf people in the U.S. This slide illustrates that about 2 to 4 of every 1,000 people in the U.S. are functionally deaf, FD, and less than 1 out of every 1,000 people in the U.S. became deaf before the age of 18. So if people who have a severe hearing impairment are included, then anywhere from 9 to 22 out of every 1,000 people have a severe hearing impairment or are deaf. This slide shows that if everyone who has any kind of trouble with their hearing is included, then anywhere from 37 to 140 out of every 1,000 people in the U.S. have some kind of hearing loss, with a large share being at least 65 years old. The GRI emphasizes that these estimates are based upon self-reported or informant-reported hearing difficulty and not on independent scientific measurements. Now, I want to talk briefly about deaf culture. Now, there's a difference between uppercase deaf, which I'd say is big D, and lowercase deaf, which is little d. The uppercase deaf refers to individuals who share a common language, which in this case would be American Sign Language, better known as ASL, and also share a culture. But lowercase deaf specifically refers to the audiological condition of not hearing. I'll give an example of the differences between big D and little d. Just say you have a woman who starts to lose her hearing, let's say when she's in her 40s. And then by the time she's 50, she's completely deaf. She would be seen as lowercase deaf because although she cannot hear, she did not grow up in the deaf culture and most likely is not fluent in ASL. So she's not uppercase deaf. So now I want to talk about why it's so important to reach out to this particular population when there's an emergency. Hearing loss has a major impact on the ability to communicate during emergencies because it is impossible to depend on auditory information. Sirens, shouted warnings, calls from rescue workers, quick phone calls to give information about a developing situation, public address systems are all useless. Without effective communication systems, those that are deaf are not aware of emergencies and do not know what steps to take to protect themselves and have no access to critical resources in the aftermath of an emergency. Recent experiences with emergencies such as September 11th and Hurricane Katrina reinforced the urgent need to strengthen the emergency preparedness infrastructure for the deaf. So for that reason, the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Consumer Advocacy Network, which I'll call DCAN, worked closely with the Northern Virginia Resource Center for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Persons, NVRC, to write a report on the difficulties experienced by deaf and hard of hearing individuals across the nation following the tragic events of September 11th and during the weeks that followed. So, DCAN's Project Access was launched in October 2001 and had two goals. The first goal was to qualify and quantify the problems encountered by deaf and hard of hearing persons, and also to determine the extent of the problems. By April 2003, MVRC conducted a survey in the metropolitan area of Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Maryland. The survey's goal was to gather more detailed information from the deaf population about how they learned about the terrorist attacks, where they were when they heard about it, what communication breakdowns they experienced, whether they felt they had the same access to emergency information as the hearing community, etc. And the most significant finding from this survey was that the deaf need accessible and effective communication during an emergency. So with that in mind, let me switch gears and talk about ECS, which is where I work, and what we do and how this project ties in. ECS is the Emergency Communication System at CDC, and it comprises of 10 teams with resources to provide emergency information through appropriate channels and to multiple audiences. ECS's goal is to get timely, accurate, credible, and actionable health information to decision makers so they can take action to save lives and decrease morbidity and mortality. Some of the ECS teams are the web team, the policy team, the global team, the clinician communication team, and the my team, the cool team, which is the community health outreach and education team, known as CHET. The CHET team works directly with affected communities to identify and address their specific needs. We assure messages are accessible to key audiences, we provide emergency translation services, and we develop and maintain communication channels with faith-based, community-based, and non-for-profit organizations for message dissemination. But last year, ECS decided to reach out to the deaf and deafblind population to address their needs during an emergency. And that's when I started to work on this project to fill the gap. So, my first step was to form a work group that would guide me on how to develop emergency messages that would be suitable for deaf, hard of hearing, light deafened, and deafblind populations. And the name of the work group is the Deaf, Hard of Hearing, and Deafblind Work Group. So I reached out to specialists working in the deaf community, and I'm so pleased to have this remarkable set of people advising me. I could not have done this project without them. They are from the Atlanta Area School for the Deaf, AASD, Georgia Council for the Hearing Impaired, GACHI, Post-Secondary Education Programs Network, PEPDET, Helen Keller National Center, HKNC, and the American Association of the Deaf Blind. So when I met with the work group and discussed the project with them, they strongly encouraged me to have our messages translated to ASL to reach the majority of the deaf population. So I started to do research and make inquiries and reach out to other centers. And so ECS decided to collaborate with the National Center for Environmental Health at CDC, and the ADS is here from the National Center for Environmental Health, Jana. And we chose public service announcements related to environmental health emergencies, in this case hurricanes, that were already available to translate, and we translated them to ASL. So we reviewed the PSAs and we tailored them to suit the deaf population. For example, some of the PSAs made reference to listening to the radio for more information, and we had to delete those parts since they did not apply to the deaf community. We also made sure they were as simple and concise as possible, plain language. So once the PSAs were tailored, the next step was to tape them. So we sought the assistance of the sign language interpreting specialists, and we had both a hearing and a deaf interpreter review the scripts, and then they came to the CDC studios to translate the messages to ASL. The deaf interpreter was the one who was recorded on camera translating the messages, and the hearing interpreter worked with the CDC producer to make subtle changes to the script and discuss the messages. ASL is the deaf interpreter's first language, so we felt that the deaf interpreter could convey the messages in a way that will be well suited for the majority of the deaf population. So the hearing interpreter was the liaison between the CDC producer and the deaf interpreter. And she worked with Randy, and they learned about the content of the messages, and they practiced for the recording day. So the clips were taped and edited and are now on the CDC webpage at the link provided, and there's a feedback form, and we'll take a look at the clip, one of the clips later. It's like a 30-second clip. These messages have been disseminated widely through the internet and with the help of the work group. I also burned the clips on CD, and I have copies with me here at the front, so you can take one before you leave. And then the text to each ASL video clip is available on the CDC's emergency webpage, and it includes a voiceover, so these clips can also be used by the blind audience as well. We're still in the process of evaluating these clips, and one of the work group members, AASD, has volunteered to conduct focus groups before the year runs out. We've not figured out all the logistics yet, but so far we know that we'll have members of the big D deaf community and members of the little D deaf community. And they'll be in different groups, maybe about 6 to 8 people in each group. And the participants will range in age from 18 to just over 50, and will include a wide range of ethnic and educational backgrounds. This next slide is a summary of the feedback that we received thus far on our website since the ASL clips were launched in August. As of October 26, 2007, we had 94 anonymous comments. 57% of those focused on praise, 24% had mixed reactions, and 19% gave constructive feedback, such as the need for captioning, more facial expression from the interpreter, and the need for illustrative videos to accompany the ASL translation. So let me show you a few of the many external comments that we have received on our website since the launch of this project. In addition to this, there were many positive comments received internally within CDC because I wrote an article about this project and it was posted on the CDC intranet, and this created a lot of awareness among CDC employees. Many employees have asked if ASL classes would be offered at CDC. So proposals have been submitted by the work group, and CDC plans to start offering ASL classes early next year. So I won't read out all the comments on the slide, but if you skim them, you'll see that they were well received. The messages were clear, they're appreciated, fantastic, awesome interpreting. And if you look at the last comment, it provided constructive criticism about captioning. So, recommendations. To caption or not to caption, that is the question. After watching the clips, the work group felt that they did not need captioning, especially since the text was available on the CDC webpage. But there were several comments, like the one I showed you, which pointed out that not all deaf people are fluent in ASL. So captioning would help to fill the gap. So these clips are in the process of being captioned, and the captioned version should be linked to the CDC webpage by the end of the month. And our future clips will be captioned from now on, and this will also fulfill 508 compliance. One of our work group members, Ms. Spears from AADB, is deafblind, and she's on my work group, and she gave us valuable feedback. She told us that since the interpreter was Caucasian and his shirt was light blue in the video clips, but she says that he needs to wear a really dark blue shirt since this would create a high contrast to someone who is deafblind and they'd be better able to see the signs. So we'll incorporate these changes in the next set of ASL clips. We also received many comments about wanting the interpreter to be more animated, to show more facial expressions and lip movement, so we'll address that as well. And finally, there are comments about the need for visual imagery in the clips in the background, like a picture of a hurricane, so we're brainstorming on how to incorporate these changes in the next set of clips. Here are a list of some topics for future ASL translations, and some of these were brought to our attention from the feedback on the CDC webpage. This is still a work in progress, and these topics may change, but for now, they are pandemic flu, coping with disasters from a mental health perspective, developing a disaster kit, mass casualties, and preparing for wildfires, especially in light of the recent California wildfires. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge my work group. They have helped me tremendously. I really have to applaud their efforts. Faith Powell from AASD, like I mentioned earlier, will be conducting the focus groups for this project, and Ms. Spears from AADB has been so helpful. Like I said, she's deafblind, and her valuable feedback with regards to the ASL video clips will make the clips better suited for the deafblind population. I've included their names, and if you're interested in contacting any of them, or if you want more information, please let me know. And for 30 seconds, I'll show you a video clip.
Stock your home and vehicle with emergency supplies. Secure or protect potential home hazards such as utilities. Stay tuned to the television and contact local authorities. To learn more, call the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, at 1-800-CDC-INFO, 1-800-232-4636, or 1-888-232-6348, TTY, or go to www.bt.cdc.gov.
Work in progress. Any suggestions will be very much appreciated. Thank you for your time.